I'm Shalina Tobin, aka Poshnosh Gal, and today I'm joined by one of the greatest exports to ever come out of the Baltics, Chef Dmitri Maggi. Hailing from Tallinn in Estonia, Dmitri has worked in some of the most amazing restaurants in the world, including Noma in Copenhagen and the three Michelin-starred 11 Madison Park in New York, where he was sous chef to the great Daniel Hum for 8 years. With a wealth of experience already under his belt, Dmitri is now head chef at the fabulous and one of my personal favorites, Davies & Brook restaurant in the iconic Claridge's Hotel in London. Hello, Dmitri, how are you?
Hi, what is a hell introduction, yeah?
Oh, I'm glad
you like movie star.
Well, it's all true. So how
Thank you
how
so
are
much.
You doing?
I mean, it's good. It's good as can be in this difficult time. But I think, you know, we try and do our best, trying to do as much as we can. And, you know, it's hard time for industry right now, but yes, it is what it is. So
yeah,
pushing hard.
So, I mean, we're going to talk about the restaurant and the industry a little bit later on. I just wanted to focus really on you for now. So you're extremely well-traveled, Dmitri. Where do you call home?
I mean, it's like it's $1 million question. it's hard to say. I think it's maybe a few years ago, I called home New York, because it's a place where I used to live last 10 years. Yeah. And it's where my kids was born. So it's been home. And now I moved to London. So, I mean, it's, I think it's slowly start to call London my home now, because I'm here now and it's amazing, beautiful city. I'm really excited to be here. But, you know, like it's still 10 years in New York and now here. So, you know, I think it's now start to getting called London home.
Yeah, and I mean, you're from Estonia. I mean, were you particularly fond of cooking from a young age?
I mean, actually, your information little bit not right. I mean, I think it's excited about that, you know. So yes, I'm from Estonia, but I was born in Kazakhstan. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. This is kind of like, give some cool stuff, you know. My mom from Estonia and my father Russian. And so they meet up each other. And I was born in Kazakhstan. And okay. So, but reason is, so it's kind of like a little personal. It's past years, like it's been kind of like, ashamed to say like I was born in Kazakhstan, you know, and I always try to say I'm from Estonia. People know what about Estonia, but no one really know about Kazakhstan. Everyone just know Kazakhstan is a Borat movie, you know.
Right.
And well, it was kind
of, why don't you share with us what was it like when you were growing up there?
It was amazing. It's beautiful, a beautiful country. It's like it's take you 2 days from my city go to the another big city.
Okay.
It's like it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. It was near to the Caspian Sea, small town called Aktau. It's good, you know. It was my good childhood. But then it's like all the style to get little hairy, and it's this was like really dark time. So this we decided to we need to move somewhere in a better place. And because my mom from Estonia, so we just moved there. And it's like it's civilization, nice people. And it was good.
Well, I stayed at the Three Sisters Hotel in Tallinn a few years ago, actually. It's a very up and coming city. Do you go back there regularly?
I was there maybe 1 year ago. And it's like, it's a beautiful, you know, like it's a city grows so much, and you can see when I arrived there and what is now, like every like 2 or 3 years I go there, sometime I go there to visit my mom, and it just like tremendously, It's a city. It's so nice. And you just like sometimes you just go on the street. Oh, what's going on? I don't remember this building. It's like a skyscraper over there.
Right.
And you know, like it's old town, has so much history. It's so nice and it's like so good. And it's like, you know, like it's cuisine is nice there. And it's also from the like food perspective, it's a lot of food will grow, you know. It's a lot of thing. It's getting way more better than it was 5 years ago. It's like the Nordic cuisine. It's really have his fingerprints on the Tallinn. Because, you know, like it's very close and we really want to call ourselves Nordics. It's actually now a Nordic country, according to UN. So.
Yeah, and so tell us about how you started cooking when you were younger. Is it something that you did with your mom, or is it just an interest that you developed while at school?
I mean, so sometimes people say like its mom was the best cook in the world, and then you start to do it. I don't want to say my mom was the best cook in the world, so maybe it was kind of like maybe opposite. Yes, so try to get something nicer, and I mean. I don't want to say bad about my mom cooking. Okay. No one wants to say, mom is the best cook ever. So,
always.
Yeah. So, but I think it's like I always read. We have some few cookbooks, not a lot, but always. So, for some reason, I always was interesting on that. I always, for me, was kind of like kind of something like secret. What's going on in the kitchen? All the dishes, what's it doing? Like, you know, like kind of like you guys know, like beer con chicken, yeah. So right. We used to do this something like that at home. Like, so you just like cook the chicken in the oven with some stock, with some vegetables, and it was so nice. And I don't know, like I always kind of dream about it. I always want to do that.
Right.
But then like I always kind of like play around with some dessert or whatever, just like try to find some recipe. Like some neighbors bring something. Oh, I want to do something, and it always keep me interesting, you know.
Right.
But then, like when I was, I don't know, maybe like 16 or maybe like 13 or 14 years old, someone told me like, "Hey, there is no future for the cooks. Like machine will gonna take over. Everything is gonna be industrial. It's like and also it's not the job for men. It's a job only for the woman." And I don't know, like, I kind of like listen. I mean, I was 13 years old, so like, okay, maybe I need to do something else.
Right.
And I went to the university, like, start to study some physicians, something kind of nuclear reaction. So it was, but what I understand, it's not really what I want to do at all. Yeah. It doesn't really work for me at all. So, and you know, and then it's also was a situation when we moved from Kazakhstan to Estonia. So like I was 16 years old, so like what are you gonna do? I don't really know Estonian language in this time, because I always, all my life I used to live in Kazakhstan,
right?
So it was hard, like, okay. So, and also I'm 16 year old, and I don't want to say not in strange, not in a like different country, but I need to support my mom. I need to earn some money. So what are you gonna do, you know? So then it just come instantly, okay, so it's something what I love, what it's easy, and I mean easy kind of, you know, for me at this point. So like, let's start to go in the kitchen, like to do something. And it's, and then I find my passion afterwards, you know, like it's maybe, I don't say it was passion in the first day, but it was, I was passionate about it from the beginning, and then it's slowly growing up on me to like, I want to explore, I want to learn, I want to read about that, I want to like watch movie, and then it's internet was there, you want to like search all the stuff, and then you find the Gordon Ramsay, you find this, all the greatest chef in the world, and then like, wow, just what they're doing, how they're doing, like, just like try to watch as much as you can on the TV, like go in the store, like, you know, this time is a bookstore was a big thing, you know. You go to the bookstore on the shelf where it's all the culinary books, you go like you start to read, start to write it down, the recipe, and you know, this is just how passion developed, you know.
So you mentioned Gordon Ramsay. Would you say that, I mean, he's maybe the inspiration behind when you were young?
Oh, for sure. I mean, For me, when I was, I don't know, maybe 22 years old, he was Jesus Christ himself. I mean, it's true. Wow. I mean, I know, like, if someone's gonna tell you no, he's a liar, you know, like, he was one of the biggest star what you can find, like, you know, maybe like, you know, Bocuse d'Or, but maybe people who know more about culinary will know them, or in other chefs. But Gordon Ramsay was in a TV, like, for the normal kid, just he was like only like a Jimmy Oliver again, you know, there's another guy, you know, like, it was everywhere, you know, like, it, I don't know, like, it's a good or bad, but they was all and they inspired people to become a cook.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And well, that's brilliant. I've never heard anyone refer to Gordon Ramsay as Jesus Christ, and if, I mean, he's watching, I'm sure it's a new one for him as well.
I'm sure he's not, but
so well, you worked as a chef in your home country before moving to Latvia. What made you decide to move away from then?
My future wife. My love, I followed the love. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, so
where did you meet Baiba?
Old school in a bar, you know.
Okay.
not in a internet, not through the, I don't know, Tinder or whatever it is.
No, the old fashioned way, you know.
Old fashioned way in a bar, you know. actually I went for work in Riga for a few days. It's another, like, it's really good restaurant in Baltic State, Vincent. Maybe Martin Frittens, maybe you heard about this guy. So, like, he was one of the first chef from, he's Canadian Latvian. So he was born in Canada, I guess. So, and then he come back. I'm not really sure, like, all the history. So he was who came back from Canada to do all this modern cuisine, introduced the Latvia to a new way of the cooking after Soviet time was over. So it was a really famous, I mean, it's still famous restaurant in Riga, but I think in this time, it's again, like, it's maybe 15 years ago, it was one of the best restaurant what you can find. Like, they cook, they do the food what you never see before. Mm-hmm. So I went there for the stash for 2 days, and, you know, after work, grab some pint, and, you know, it's really in another, like, it's a really cool story. So I called to my friend, we talk about like how was my day, what I learned, what I see, and then I just go on the street, and then the street, there's like two bars, one on the left, one on the right, and then I ask him, hey, so which one I need to go, left or right? He told me, go to the left. I went to the left, and I find love in my life.
Oh. That's quite nice. It's a nice story. But speaking of, you know, of like famous restaurants, you moved to Copenhagen and worked with the critically acclaimed Noma restaurant with Chef René Redzepi. What was that experience like?
It's a guy that is another, like, it changed my life dramatically. It's another, like, one of my friends. It was a time when Noma was just becoming famous. It wasn't like right now, like everyone, you can ask anyone knows what is Noma.
Everyone
is.
Everyone knows, yeah.
Yeah, before it was just like another restaurant in a Copenhagen just coming up, like no one, some people know, some people not, you know. So I think it was like 2005, 2006, somewhere. So it's one of my friends went over there, and then when he come back, he like, his eyes like was like that. And he just like, wow, this is like the people who work there, just like terminators, like just work, and it's like they want to be better every day, they want to like to push so much. It's something what I kind of like missing in working in Latvia and Estonia in that time, you know, like it's because for some people, you know, it's just work, it's not the way how you live, you know. It's a, I mean, it's a hard to explain if you're not working, you know, in a kitchen. So when he talked about that, so for me it was kind of like, it's really what I want to be, it's really like how I want to work, and it's what I wanted to be. So I went there for the stash, and after 30 days I'm just like, it's I want to be there. I want to be surrounded by people who are really driving, who really want to do better every day. People question every day, and like how to become better, how to become better cook, better human. And it's also like techniques, flavors I never seen in my life before, you know. Just how to, okay, so what you can do with potato, you make mashed potato, or you can like make roasted potato. Always there, you can dehydrate, you can pickle, you can ferment. Like, it's like insane. It just like blow my mind what you can do with something simple product what you never used before. And I'm saying again, like I'm like little guy from Baltic States who just like moved maybe 7 years ago from the Kazakhstan, like, and I never see anything like this. I can't even dream about that, you know?
Right. So Rene really kind of unleashed that creativity in you then.
I mean, not just me, just everyone, you know, like it's, you know, like you, like maybe now you guys hear about this like Saturday project, you know, I was over there when it was created, like it's, I mean, he just like one day, when we come back after the break, he just say, okay, so starting next week, we're going to start to do Friday project, we're going to start to create the team who are going to work on a dish, and I want to see all the stuff in a Saturday night, you know. But actually before we start, it was kind of every day, but right. Then after a few months it just become like it's, people don't really have time to do this, so then he would become, okay, now we're going to do it one time in a week, and a whole section work on that, and like every week one person from the section, he is a chef, and then another two people kind of not come in, but to help him to do all this stuff. Yeah. So I mean, it was great, and you can see how some people really creative, some people not, and you can see he's here all the time for this project. He's really judge you, like everyone judge you, like give you the constructive criticism. It was really nice, you know. It was really nice. It's like really push you, just be creative, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and. Could you, I know it was a long time ago now, but do you have like your fondest memory of working with Rene, like an encounter that you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, when I sometime I overcooked my quail eggs, so this was really fun.
you overcooked your quail eggs?
Yeah, so I mean, it was really, really, you know, maybe like, you know, remember this dish? I mean, if like someone remember, it was like it's quail eggs, slowly cook, and then it's you smoke them, and then you pickle them with a heat process, and then garum gestation that sends them in, like it's a beautiful ceramic quail eggs with some hay. And they put some smoke over there. So then when you get in your table, you open up and then you have some smoke.
Right.
And then there's two quail eggs over there sitting in a hay, like in a nest. I mean, obviously you see some, after that, you see so many variation of this dish. Like it's so many restaurants. Yeah, so this is also my duty, just do this eggs, peel them, make sure when you peel them, they super perfectly. And yeah, sometimes you just don't overcook them. Yeah, so
did they go to the guest before? I mean, when you
no, just Rene, just like he is, like he's really energetic, so he just walk, he just try before they go, and then
right,
you know, he's gonna find some of them is not really cooked, so you're gonna get in trouble.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad. That's actually not really a bad
really good. Like he's really creative, and I don't want to afraid this word genius, you know. Like with the flavor, with a flavor combination, with ideas, you know, just like I know what's coming up in his head, just like pop up, and it's like amazing.
And have you been back there since you left?
Yeah, I went a few times, and I mean, you know, that he's really like easygoing guy, you know. Like I don't know if you have a chance to talk with him, and especially I worked for him 2 years, and it's been a long time, so he know me. Every time, sometime he go to the London, so like before we opened Davis and Brooke, he went here, he did some pop-up in Claridge's. He just came down, just we talked, like we spent like 40 minutes, like it was really cool. Just like talk about all the friends, what we worked together. I mean, he's really, really, really easy go guy, you know, like it.
He comes across that way. He comes across as very nice. So how did you end up moving to New York, or was that an opportunity that just kind of came to you?
I mean, I moved for my wife. So when we moved to Copenhagen, I make decision, I want to go to the Nomad for my job, for my future. And my wife, she dropped everything. What she had a great job in Latvia, but she dropped, she moved with me. So then she kind of like end up without a job. And then she find job in United Nations after a few months or maybe, something like that. And then she find her passion about what she's doing. So work in United Nations, it's a great opportunity. And then, as you know, like United Nations, it's huge global corporation almost, you know, I can call that. And so they have office in New York. So, and there's opportunity to move for her to grow in New York. And again, you know, remember the guy just moved from Kazakhstan to, and then move there. And then to work in New York, it's like, wow, like I will be in New York just for sure. I go with you, you know? And so we moved there and it was just like,
well, New York's a very fun place. I have a sister who lives there and I absolutely love it.
So it's like dominate you in the beginning.
Yeah, it's great fun. So you joined Michael Anthony at Gramercy Tavern before moving on to what was one of the top restaurants in the world, 11 Madison Park. Was that your goal when you moved to New York? Did you go there and think, right, this is the restaurant that I want to work in?
I mean, it was another beautiful story. So when I moved to New York, I went to apply for 10 different restaurants to work. I mean, at this time, it was like Per Se, it's one of the amazing restaurants. I mean, still there. It was Corton, another like great restaurant. Then I went to Mama Fuku because David Chang, it's a good friend of Rene. So I tried to there. Then Gramercy Tower and 11 Madison Park. I went to all the different type of restaurant. And to be honest with you, like I really love from the first place, I love 11 Madison Park because I kind of find for me, it's a presentation on the plates and the flavor. It's something what I would love to do. But then I don't have the right paperwork in the moment and then I don't really get the job. And then when I get the job, when I get my paperwork, I get the job, they don't need anyone. So it was kind of like a story. Then I went to the Gramercy Tower and just like, I was thinking, it's going to be easy. It's going to be just kind of chill job. But after doing 50 covers every night on the Noma and moved to New York when you're doing 240.
Wow.
It's just like blew my mind. Like how people can do this. It's New York is completely different beast, you know? And it's just move you, like teach you speed, teach you move fast, like be more organized, push harder. Like I learned a lot in a Gramercy Tavern, you know? And then, you know, like, and also like I want, after Nome, I want to maybe like take it easy a little bit. I just want to be more casual. Because I mean, working normally, it's very like intense, you know, to be honest with you. Just afterward, I just want like, okay, I want to just do something more casual. But then it's, you know, like it's something passion grows me, like ambition. I want to do something more. I want to do something more. And then I apply again to the LA Madison Park. And finally, after three trials, I get job over there.
Three trials. Wow.
It is, you know. And I got a job over there because I was like, I want to do this. I want to do it. It's like, it's the restaurant where I want to be. And then
very persistent.
I got there and next day, the restaurant received 3 Michelin stars.
So You're very lucky for the restaurant.
No, exactly. It's what I tell the chef all the time. It's just because of me, we get 3 Michelin stars. You know, I wasn't, you know, like, you know, on a puzzle, you know, this last piece.
The last piece. Exactly. Yeah. So you've been an integral member of Chef Daniel's team at 11 Madison Park. So was it, I think, 8 years that you were there in total?
2011, yeah, 2011. And what is now 20, so it's 9 years. Mm. So long time.
Yeah, long time. And I mean, that restaurant, it's, you know, it secured 4 stars from the New York Times, maintaining its 3 Michelin star status for many years. Not only that, but the restaurant was named number 1 in the world by the world's 50th best in 2017. Would you say that was maybe the highlight in your career at that point?
Yeah, I can say this one, you know, like, I don't want to lie, you know, to stand in Australia on a stage and you see all the idols, what you used to pray for.
Yeah.
And then you hold the thing.
Yeah.
And they call you, you're the best restaurant in the world. Just, I don't like, it's like, I'm unbelievable feeling, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And Chef Daniel, he's got quite a reputation for being very tough in the kitchen. What was he like to work with on a daily basis?
I mean, it's, you know, like, it's being tough in the kitchen. It's not just Chef Daniel. It's mentality. It's mentality of the chefs, you know, like, it's, I think it's one of the biggest problem what we have in our industry. You know, people think the good chef is the chef who is screaming, who is yelling, who is like tough, you know, like in this way, but you don't need to be like that. And I think something good happens with Chef Daniel. So he just realized one day, this is not the right way. This is not the right way to lead the kitchen. And I mean, it was hard even for us because, you know, like, it's his example. Like, we know, like, what it means to be the chef. You go, like, hey, let's go. Yo, come on. You know, like, it's like scream, humiliate people. But it's one day he just show up and say, hey, guys, it's the right thing to do. I want to change it. I just want to change this one because it's not the right thing to do. And for us, it was like, wow, what's going on? Like, you just told us we need to be tough and now we're not, like, it's, you know, but because there's no like black and white, there's sort of gray area, you know,
right.
And if you, I don't say not tough, if you're not yaller, like, you can get more from people.
Right.
With respect.
Yeah.
If you learn respect from the cooks, they will give you more because fear is not the driver, you know. You can squeeze them. They're going to work for you 3 months, 4 months, half year, but then you just squeeze them and then just go. They just go, like, you know, you just use them, you know. It's not the right thing to do. People need to be happy. When people are happy at work, you have happy staff, happy guests. You don't have people who want to quit. It's just completely different environment, you know. It's what we want to create in 11 Madison Park, what we want to create in our company, Make Nice, you know, like, it's doesn't need to be screamer and yeller, you know. You have to be tough, but tough in a different way, you know. You have to be firm, this for sure. There is a thing what need to be done this way, but it doesn't need to be like
aggressive.
Exactly. This is wrong. And it's like, there's something I'm really disagree. And I wish when I was maybe 25 years old, someone taught me that, you know? And I mean, it's just no, to be honest with you, like, I don't believe maybe 20 years ago, we even questioned that because you see the stereotype of the cook or the chef, like all the cartoons, you know, we talk about stereotypes so many times, but what is the chef? The guy, fat guy with mustache yelling all the time. This is the right type of the chef, you know.
Mm-hmm. And in which
screamer yelling?
Which ways do you motivate and inspire your team now? So how have you learned from that?
I think it's very simple. I just wanted to become better cooks, but not just cooks, human, every day. I want to try to do better every day because no one perfect, no one. Everyone make mistake. And if you don't make mistake, you don't learn. This is true, and you have to accept this one, you know?
Yeah.
But what you need to do, you need to learn from this mistake. You need to try to do better next time. Maybe you can make same mistake again tomorrow, yeah, but a little bit less.
Yeah.
You know, and then day after, it's gonna be even less, and then less and less. I just need to see people trying. This is what it's all about, to try every day to be better,
yeah,
in a different ways, you know?
And never overcook the eggs.
Oh, no.
So after being so successful at 11 Madison Park, how did the move to London come about? How were you, like, you know, the chosen one?
I mean, I don't want to say I kind of achieved everything in 11 Madison Park, but I say, like, I start as a cook, become sous chef, then become sous chef or not, then become executive sous chef, then head chef 11 Madison Park. You know, it just, okay, what next? You know, because I want to push myself, you know, like I don't want to be so long time in a comfortable zone, you say, right? You know?
Yeah.
I want to challenge myself every day. And then when you find yourself, everything is fine, it's wrong. I mean, I don't know, like, it's something wrong then, you know, like, not wrong, but you need to challenge yourself. You need to see, because if it's so good all the time, it's not good.
That's interesting. So when you have, like, achieved perfection, for you, it's not perfection. You've got to find something wrong with it to make it even better.
Exactly, because it's nothing perfect 100%. You can always find how to make better.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to find a new thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So no, please go on.
No, I just say, like, you know, then I just find out, okay, so I achieve pretty much everything what I can. So, and I don't say, like, I want to move on. It's wrong. And, like, I love chef. I love the company. And there is a opportunity came, you know, to the open restaurant in London. Mm-hmm. And also my wife also think about when we moved to New York, like, oh, we're going to be there maybe for 3 years and we're going to back to the Europe. Okay, now we're going to be here for the 5 years and we're going to back to New York. Okay, now we're going to be for the 7 years. We're gonna back to New York. So, and then she kind of like won't go back to the Europe. Like, okay, well, this is chance, you know, we can go back to the Europe and why not, you know?
Yeah.
It's a challenge for me, challenge for her. Because she also worked in the nation for so many years, she also want to challenge herself as well. You know, she want to try something what motivates her better. So yeah, and this was opportunity, and I was grateful. You know, it's more responsibility, be more creative, be more organized, open restaurant. You know, open my own restaurant, and I'm super grateful. Chef believe in me. Chef gave me this opportunity, and it's so kind of him. You know.
And so let's talk about Davisonburg. So the backstory behind Daniel Harmer at the Claridge's, it's pretty amazing story, the history. I mean, the fact that he started there so many moons ago, chopping the vegetables, and now it's actually owning his own restaurant. How does it feel to be part of such an amazing story?
I have my own story.
You do have your own story.
I have so many stories. I've made of so many stories. Claridge's, Gordon Ramsay at Claridge's, it was my first Michelin or even like outside of Estonia restaurant where I went to eat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was my first time in London. Mm-hmm. I work in a small restaurant in Italian, and we did really good job. And one director said, okay, you guys did an amazing job. I want to give you something nice, but I don't want to give it to you money. I want to take it to the London so you guys can see a different restaurant and just make it nice for you, you know?
Yeah.
But he, he don't know this word, make it nice, but yes, he tried to do. And it was the first restaurant where we went, Gordon Ramsay, I would say like Gordon Ramsay, Jesus Christ himself, like it's where we want to go. Like we went there and it just clarity just is like, just like so impressive. You know, you go to the main doors, the doorman open door for you. There's this all the like lights. You just like look, wow, where I am, like in the Buckingham Palace or like where is the queen gonna be next somewhere, you know?
Yeah. You
took a cup of tea, like wow, it's like, and then they took us to the Gordon Ramsay restaurant, and then we had a chef table, and Mark Surgeon was there. It was just amazing, you know, like it's first Michelin experience. It's just like blowing my mind, you know, like. And now I'm here.
Yes. I mean, I actually had no idea about that story, but that is quite a coincidence that, you know, you've both been there, you and Daniel Hamm, you know, in very different ways, but when you were very young and you're now both back at the same place, you could almost call it home.
I don't want to say a circle complete. I don't want to say that, but it's like, it's a story for him, story for me.
Yes.
It's memory for me. To been in this place and now be chef in this restaurant and just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the guy from the Kazakhstan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. It's phenomenal, actually. I really like the fact that both of your stories have just intertwined. And so we did talk about how you're finding it in London. You've got your two young kids here as well. How are they finding it?
Three.
You got three, okay. You've had one in between my research.
I know. I'm moving very fast.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When you need perfection, you keep going, right? I know that now.
Exactly.
So how's the whole family finding it? Are the kids, do they miss New York or are they happy here?
I think sometimes, like maybe when they just move there, they maybe miss a little bit, but now they find the friends. Lucas now speak with perfect British accent.
Brilliant.
Tomato.
So, tomato.
Sorry. I'm not good at that. Lucas is British now. Uma can switch from American to British. But I mean, they find the friends. They find, what is for me, it was really cool. Like they have a friends now, they're happy. They love the school. School is smaller than in New York. And what they say is the food is way more better than in New York. So they love the food. What, you know, for kids, it's what's very important. You know, food in the school is good.
And I saw from your stories online that they're already cooking and following in some of your footsteps. Would you like them to be interested in the restaurant industry?
I mean, not necessary. I want them to be happy. I don't really care what they want to do. They want to be the chef, they want to be the, Uma told me she want to be the marine biologist, like wherever, you know, like wherever they want, makes them happy to do, I will adapt to that, you know, because it's not my life, it's those guys' life, you know?
Yeah, of course. It's interesting, actually, I spoke to Chef Sean Rankin from Grantley Hall. I don't know if you know him, but he told me he wanted to be a marine biologist and now he's Michelin star chef. So it's interesting that you said she wants to be in marine biology.
Yeah, I mean, we went somewhere and she swim with a dolphin and afterwards, yeah, I want to be marine biologist.
Oh, okay. Lovely. So as a budding chef, is there a difference between learning your trade in New York and learning in London? How would you compare the two?
Less allergy.
Less allergies?
Yeah.
In New York?
No, here.
Oh, really? Okay.
I work in an LA Mason Park, like it's so many allergies, like you can.
Everyone has a different menu.
Everyone has a different menu. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, I mean, I just like, I don't know, like it's hard to say, but I mean, I like products here, you know. I think like even just like carrots from the store taste like a carrot.
Right.
Potato from the store taste like potato. Milk from the store tastes like milk, you know. But I mean, is it just for the products, you know? I think you guys have amazing products here, amazing farms. It's like, it's really impress, you know? And yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's just different to New York. It's, I think New York is a little bit bigger. Here it's a little bit more, it's a little bit smaller, more on a smaller scale somehow, you know? But like I say, like it's Gramercy Tower, it's 240 people every night, you know? It's right. Here we're doing like 60, 70. So it's just LA Mason Park, 120 covers every night, you know?
Right. And there are a number of signature dishes that have made the journey from 11 Madison Park to Davies and Brook. In particular, the famous celeriac cooked in the pig's bladder. Actually, I'm not sure, is that still on the menu? Because the last time I was there,
No, not anymore. I mean, we also try to, you know, like we have some dishes what we think. I also like a famous duck, you know, famous
duck,
dry aged duck with cumin, coriander, lavender, honey glaze. We have the chicken with whole roasted chicken with foie gras, brioche, and butter. You know, we also want to. We don't want to be just like take all the dishes from LA and Mason Park and just put it here, you know. We want to bring some. We want to find our identity. What is it, Davis and Brook is, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's not LA and Mason Park. It's more. I don't want. What I would say, you know, like it's more approachable, you know. For me, it's more approachable to the guests to understand what they're eating and flavor and the way how we serve the food. It's a little bit different, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so did you spend lockdown time creating any new menu or new dishes?
Yeah, I mean, we work on the food. I mean, obviously it was hard to, we did this to-go box, you know, like we cook for the doctors, you know, but
right, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, we spend some time. We spend some time, like maybe like almost 2 months, just to think what products we would like to see. It also was hard to get any product in this time, you know.
Mm.
But I mean, you're just cooking in your head, in your mind, you know.
Of course, and you guys, you mentioned, you know, you're cooking for the NHS. You guys did phenomenal work over that period, and they were all staying with you in the hotel as well. Talk to me about that time. Like how, what were you guys going through?
I mean, to be honest, it was scary, you know, like it's first, I mean, I tell to my team, you know, like I'm not firefighter. I'm not a nurse. I'm not policeman. How can I help? What can I do? You know, what can I give to my community? What can I give to people who who's saving our life? What I can do for them. It's only like what I can do. I know how to cook. I have a whole kitchen. Why I don't cook something for them, you know? So, I mean, it's a thank you for the clergies. They was really excited about that. They really want to do this initiative. And we find the hospital who also was really, wow, bring it on, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was scary in the first day, just show up in a kitchen, just everyone with a mask, everyone with the gloves, like you're just like, wow, what you're gonna do, you know. But everyone was super excited to do something good.
Yeah.
Because we was almost like 1 month sitting home and just everyone started going like a little cuckoo, you know. So it was nice to be outside. It was nice to do something what you love and for people who need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, like one of the best time, you know, like I really feel like something to give back, you know. And then also like in New York, they're doing this rethink, you know, like what they give food for people who need it's, you know, like, because we don't have this rethink here, but what else, what we can do, you know,
yeah.
How we can give back to the community, you know, this is what I'm thinking right now, like what we can do, you know, what we can do, you know.
It was very inspirational just to see everybody coming together and, you know, whoever could help did help. And that community spirit really shone through. So, you know, it was amazing. And you guys did such a phenomenal job over that period. And I actually loved your post when you were back after, I think maybe after a couple of weeks, but you put the pink kitchen order tickets, the picture of that. And I found that image so powerful in its simplicity, but also, you know, the support of the people who love to dine at Claridge's.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
Just to show that, that was pretty cool.
But I say, like, it's not only us. It's like, you just mentioned, it's like, it's people around the world, you know, step it up, you know. In the UK, a lot of chefs just do this, you know, because they also want to give it back to community.
Yeah.
It was really inspirational, you know, to see how people trying to do something, you know.
And so, so Davies and Brooke, it was only open for a few months before, unfortunately, the closure.
Yeah.
So there's no time for accolades or stars. Now the things are back open again. Is that something that you're striving towards or working towards?
I think we kind of have a conversation with Chef Daniel and just with our team, like what we want to be, you know, who we are. We want our guests feel comfortable. I want our guests feel excited about food. I want our guests come back, and I want our guests be happy to be. I want our guests enjoy to be in our restaurant. And I think this is what is the most important, not about 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, you know, like, I mean, it's just, I want all my guests just enjoy the food and just feel comfortable in the place, feel comfortable with the service. I don't want them to feel like, oh, like I'm ordering the right wine or not, or what is the fork for, you know, like, I don't want to feel uncomfortable, you know, this, what I don't believe it's the right thing, but someone want that, you know? So we're just driving to bring people back to the restaurant and enjoy the food.
Yeah.
It's what we want.
Yeah, well, you're doing it clearly. And we're loving it because I was there just a few nights ago and you were full, completely full.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what's going on with this tier number two.
Yeah, it's going to make things difficult for sure. So what's next for you personally? What are your personal ambitions moving forward?
As you said, you know, we just opened restaurant for 3 months, then it was closed for the 6 months, then we're open again for 1 month. It's kind of was like jump back and forward, and I just want this restaurant to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
This what is for me is important right now. I want my team be successful. I want my team be inspired. I want my team be happy. And this is for me is just like what I want. What will gonna make me happy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I don't have plan, go somewhere. I don't have a plan, do something else. I'm really happy where I am. I'm really happy working Davis and Brooke. And I'm just, one of this, all this COVID stuff is over. I mean,
yeah.
I guess it's not only me, you know?
Yeah. We're all in it together.
It is. And this is what is kind of crazy. It's not just like one country, it's all around the world, you know, like it's like if you see, like I think it's our like industry. It's one of the hardest one who get hit, but because of industry, because of restaurant hits, and like it's also it hits the farmers, it hits the people who deliver the food. Just if you just start to look all the chain, like it's insane, you know. Just first you just see all the restaurant, but then like who supplies the restaurant?
Yeah,
like all the meat guys, all the dairy, all this farm, everyone, this grower, farmers, like it's just like so hard to see, you know.
Yeah,
how everything is crippled and just like boom.
Yeah, and it's going to take a while for the economy to come back, but hopefully it won't be too long.
Let's stay positive.
We've got to, yeah, absolutely. So tell me something about yourself that I couldn't possibly know.
Have three kids, I already said.
Well, I've learned lots of new things about you, but...
Yeah, I know. I should keep this a little bit and then tell you. Because I pretty much tell you everything, you know? No, I just say, you know, like I don't want to go dark, but I mean, it's to say like where you was born, you know, this for me was really, really hard to say. So I'm from Kazakhstan, you know, and I say like in the beginning, I was like shame about that. And it's doesn't feel good about this. Like, oh, so I'm from Estonia, you know? And then I just like, one day I found a magazine when Zinedine Zidane, one of the greatest player in the world, have the same issue.
Okay.
So he never wanna admit he's not French. And then I read this one and this just make me like, what's going on with us, you know? Why we ashamed who we are? Why we ashamed our roots, you know? And then I just start talking about, so I'm from Kazakhstan. It's like, I can't hide from that, you know? I am who I am, you know? I have funny accent, it is what it is, you know? Yeah, what can I do with that?
it's kind of worldly.
You know? So, and after that, it was just like,
so
helped me a lot.
Say the more that you talked about it, where you were from, that kind of helped you maybe accept it more in your heart?
It is. You know, it just helped a lot, you know? Like, it's helped a lot, just say who you are, where you're from. And just don't lie about that. Because sometimes when you say, where from? I'm from Estonia. And then like, okay. But then you know you lie about that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just little lies. It's like, keep... I don't like lying.
No, it's not good to lie. But I think it's quite inspirational that you're sharing it with us. That, you know, that you feel that it's important that we all know where you are from. And that you did have a period of time that it was difficult for you to accept it. And I think, you know, we all have, you know, issues in our lives where, we may not want to talk about it. And I think that it's very kind of you to share that, because it inspires other people to talk about things that they feel maybe ashamed of. But when you do talk about it, I think you can, you know, then address problems and grow from it.
Exactly. You have to fight for your rights, you know, and you have to just be who you are. And I say so many times, just be who you are. Don't be afraid about that. It's help you. It's make you better. Yeah. You know, it's make you feel better.
Yeah.
Because you can run, you can hide from yourself, you know, you can pretend, but you can run from yourself. Never. This guy in the mirror always going to be there, you know, or woman, whatever. So I mean, it's, yeah, just be who you are is what I say, you know.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. And that's really, actually, that's a lovely, lovely story to share. So thank you. And thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today. And guys, if you'd like to follow Chef Dimitri, he is on Instagram at Dimitri_Maggie. And I'm at Posh Nosh Girl. Thank you so much, Dimitri. Take care.
Bye.